because it is a topic that is in the parsha. It's certainly a sphere consistent topic. It's also somewhat of a companion topic to Lashon Hara. So since we spoke about Lashon Hara last week, thought maybe we would look a little bit at that topic. We read in Parshas Kedoshim, "B'tzedek tishbot es hamisecha," and the Gemara, at least in one place, suggests that that is the source for the din, as the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos as well, "Havedanes kol ha'adam l'chaschos," that we're supposed to judge everyone favorably. There are other interpretations that Chazal have. There are at least three interpretations of this pasuk. One, three different audiences. One is an audience of potential judges, that if you have people who are qualified to sit in a bezdin or qualified to judge, so they shouldn't hold back. They should perform that task when needed, and therefore the mitzvah is to be understood. B'tzedek tishbot es hamisecha, that you shall practice justice with your friends. The other potential audience is not potential judges, but actual judges. That's somebody who is in the process of being done people, so he has to do it fairly. And the Gemara has a whole list of things that he should and shouldn't do. He shouldn't listen to one side for a long time and not give the other side as much time, etc., etc. Things like that, things that will detract, compromise the tzedek of the mishpat, that's wrong. Rather, but tzedek tishbot es hamisecha. But the most well-known context is the one that we mentioned, that it's not talking to potential judges, not talking to actual judges, talking to all of us. That there is a basic directive of B'tzedek tishbot es hamisecha, which refers to Dan L'chavzchus. So this is a whole question, which is the source here. It's a little bit of a machlokas among the Rishonim. Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs gives you different impressions than he does elsewhere. So it's a little bit of an open question. All three of these mitzvah deraisa, essentially, this obligation of Dan L'chavzchus, is that, as some of Rishonim understood it, the core interpretation of this pasuk? Or is it not even really an interpretation? Is it an asmach? That's a little bit of a debate. So it's not really clear whether it's a mitzvah min haTorah or a mitzvah derabbanan. But we are clear that there is such a concept, there is such an obligation. So what is the nature of this obligation? So it's really challenging to understand what we're expected to do. They used to say in Europe that you have an obligation to be dam l'chavzchus, you don't have an obligation to be a fool. And that if somebody is clearly posing a danger to you, somebody is clearly acting completely inappropriately, so there's no mitzvah to fool yourself into believing that he's doing the opposite. That's not what the directive of Dan L'chavzchus is. So the truth is, we see there are a couple of different situations and there are nuances that are involved. And just like with Lashon Hara, Pashtus because of its relationship to the topic of Lashon Hara, so here we have, again, two major sources, one Rishon and one Achron. The same two, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Chafetz Chaim, are the leaders of the discussion here. And both of them, among others as well, but both of them spell out different situations, different standards in which this is to be applied. So first of all, for example, and I'm oversimplifying, but just for the purpose of our discussion, it'll do. So you'll forgive me if I'm over-generalizing. But let's say, for example, you have a person who is known to always be upstanding and does something which you could interpret either way. So does Dan L'chavzchus apply to such a person? So the answer is probably no. Why? Because to judge such a person favorably, that's not Dan L'chavzchus, that's simple fairness. People have a right to the chazakah of their reputation. So if somebody has always behaved in an exemplary manner and he does something that could be interpreted either way, it would just be slanderous to interpret it as something negative. There's no reason. So that you don't even really need Dan L'chavzchus. And in fact, you find the Gemara saying a little bit more than that, although it's a discussion, this may be specifically a reference to a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara talks about a Talmud Chacham. It says, if you see a Talmud Chacham who, it's not that it's not clear what he did. The language of the Gemara is Sha'asa Avera. It seems like he really did a transgression. So Avera Avera Balayla. So then the Gemara goes on to say, the Gemara Masechus Brachos Al Tahara Acher of Bayom. So the next day, you shouldn't think badly of him. Shema Asa Tshuva. That perhaps he has repented. So that's a little bit of a different spin. It's not that we have to interpret what he did, but let's assume that it was an out and out Avera. So we have to assume that maybe he did tshuva. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Shema asa tshuva, Ela vaday asa tshuva. It's more than that. We can assume that he definitely did tshuva. So the cynical interpretation that they like to say about this Gemara is that the Shema asa tshuva, Ela vaday asa tshuva, he definitely wrote a tshuva saying it was mutter to do what he did. But that's not the simple reading of the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that he repented, and therefore you're not allowed to think badly about him. So that's a little bit of a discussion. The footnote has a piece of it. It's a little bit of discussion whether this is something that is a concept in a Talmud Chacham alone. Does it have to do with his qualities, or is it about any righteous person? It's a little bit of a debate. But so that's an extra mile that will go in those cases. So what about the middle? So you have somebody who's average. He's a decent citizen. He tries to do his best. Sometimes he succeeds, sometimes he doesn't, and he does something which really is kind of open. So that's where we find the hachra of dam l'chaschus. That's where then there's a mitzvah to tilt this basically 50-50 setup towards schus. And then the third category, and again we're really speaking very abstractly here, but the third category is, let's say you have somebody who does not fall into the upper echelons of society in terms of his character, in terms of his morality, and he's known to be an unsavory fellow, and he does something which looks bad or close to that. So then everyone's going to agree, except I think of Yossel Karduner, because he has a song, not this way, but among the Svarim, earlier Svarim, they pretty much agree that there's no mitzvah to be done him l'chavshchot. But where there is a little bit of a machlokas among the Rishonim is, even if we accept there's no mitzvah to be done in l'chav schos, but what would the Chofetz Chaim do? Now, if I'm a Chofetz Chaim Yid, if I'm a Lefnim Ashur Sadin, if everything I do is in tune with the best approach I could take, so then what would you say? Let's say I could be creative and I could come up with a way to be done in l'chav schos. So should I do that? Is that the Midas Chasidus? Or do we say, no, this person doesn't deserve it, and it's not right, there's no reason, and it's probably a bad idea to be done such a person L'chav Schos. So on that issue, there was somewhat of a Machlokas HaRishon. So what's the issue? What are they arguing about? So perhaps it could be as follows. We could raise the question, what exactly is the reason for the obligation of Dan L'chav Schos? Why do you have such a thing? So probably the more intuitive explanation that you would give, a more common understanding, is that this is based on keeping people happy in society. This is the Sefer Yerayim writes that this is a concept that is connected to V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So I wouldn't want people suspecting me all the time, so I shouldn't suspect them. That essentially is very bad for society to have people not trusting each other. People won't get along if they're always suspecting and thinking the worst of each other. So therefore, since we're interested in Shalom, we're interested in people getting along, so we'll say that to have Dam L'chaschus, you should give other people the benefit of the doubt, and that will help you live together happily. So that's probably the more intuitive understanding. If I were to ask you on the street what's Dam L'chaschus about, so then that would probably be what you'd say. But there is another way to understand it as well. And this you find in the writings of Rav Shmuel Leib Diskin. He has this in his Tshuvas. If I'm not mistaken, this was printed as well in a Sefer Al Torah. Rav Shmuel Leib Diskin really has a different spin. In his understanding, this isn't about a ben adam l'chavero. This isn't something that we do for somebody else. But this is something that we do for ourselves. That we know people are very susceptible to peer pressure and are very affected by social standards. So if you want to be able to maintain a high standard, so then it's crucial that you have to also have a belief that the people around you are living up to that high standard. That the people around you are also trying their best, because if you take the attitude, well, should I worry about this? Well, nobody worries about it. Nobody tries. So then you're not going to try either. But if you believe that the average person in my neighborhood, the average person in my social circle is careful about these things, is makbid on such and such, so then you'll feel that you also have to be careful about that. So that's essentially the point, that the mitzvah of Dam L'chav Schus is so that you should be able to maintain for yourself a high standard to aspire to, and that will affect how you behave. So this could perhaps be the issue about how do you treat the person who is an unsavory character. That if you believe that the purpose of Dam L'chav Schus is to help people get along, that if I give people the benefit of the doubt, they'll be happier and we'll be friends. So then it makes sense that if you could even pull it off, even in a case where it strains your mental muscles to try to come up with something that's very unlikely, but if you work hard enough, you could do it. So then maybe we'll say, Matovu Manoim, better you should try to do that and add that level of harmony to society, even with people whom it's harder to get along with. But if the idea is you're supposed to try to hold yourself to a high standard, so then it's not so advisable to try to clean up the behavior of people who are known to be misbehaviors, that if somebody's already identified with a negative element of society, so for you to put a positive spin on what he does is just going to bring you closer to that kind of behavior. So that would not be helpful if our goal is to try to keep one's own behavior at a higher standard. It would not make sense to apply this to people who are less than respected. And quite the opposite. Essentially, we're talking about the average people in society. What kind of standard do they uphold? So you'd want to believe that it is a high standard. But there's no reason why you should have to apply that, no reason why you should apply that to somebody who is clearly not in that ring of society. So there are a couple of other cases which various forum talk about that could relate to these questions. There are a number of Sfarim, for example, the Sefer called Darchei Tzedek, which is on Dam L'chav Schus, and there were a number of Sfarim on Bein Lo'odim L'Chaveru that were written a couple of decades ago by Rabbi Yosef Epstein, and Rabbi Yom Yoshua Zilber in the Tshuvas Az Nidbru has a number of Tshuvas about this. So if you look through all those places, so you find a number of cases that are questioned, that are brought up, that might depend on these possibilities. Yes, sir.
This unsavory person is a Russia. He's just.
Maybe. Sorry. Yes, a Russia, but does it have to go that far? Maybe.
Don't we even treat the good things that Russia does as bad sometimes?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. But that's a little bit the point here, that it doesn't help us for our morality to be taking these behaviors and whitewashing them.
Does the Torah do that? Does it not? Love on
some
of the good things he did,
right?
Because
he was
good
because
he's Russian to begin with.
I don't know. Could be. So, in any case, what are some of these cases? So, first of all, is the idea of Dam L'chav Schus something that affects how we overtly express ourselves? Or is this a mitzvah about makshava? Does it have to do with how we think? Is it about what we're thinking about people? So that's a good question, and it should seem to depend on this, that if it's about v'ahavta rechaka kamocha, if it's about having a harmonious society, so we're really going to be interested more in what comes out and how things are expressed. And if you could keep your suspicions to yourself, which may be harder said than done, but if you can keep your suspicions to yourself and not express them at all, so then presumably there wouldn't really be an issue, probably. But if the issue is that we're talking about your maintaining your own standards, so it's all about your belief, so then even on the machshava level, we would want it to be virtuous towards the people who you interact with. Another question is, what if you know that somebody doesn't care? You said so, or you have reason to believe. He's moichel, you know that he doesn't have any kpedas about what you think about him. He's not interested. So that would also be relevant to this question, that if you have reason to believe that it's not going to harm interaction, it's not going to disrupt society, so if that's the purpose, so then maybe that's okay. But if the idea is that we're trying to maintain a high social standard, so it's not up to this guy to be marchal, and as some sort of farm point out, it's not right for him to be marchal, that he should have to also worry that the standard should remain high, and it's not about him. another issue some of these farm talk about, what if the person is no longer alive? So if the issue is that if the issue is that we're trying to get along with people, so he's not alive anymore to get along with, but if the issue is that we want to maintain high standards, so then this could in theory also be relevant. Another case that's talked about, what if the issue at hand is not an issue of morality or halacha, it's something that is value neutral, but it just affects how you feel. Like, for example, you invite somebody to your party, and the person says, oh, I'd love to come, I can't, I have an unavoidable commitment. And you tell yourself, oh, it's not that he can't make it, he just doesn't care, he doesn't want to bother to come, he probably has nothing going on, he just doesn't want to come to my party. So, as far as morality is concerned, this doesn't really rate, it's not an issue from a morality point of view or a halacha point of view. So, from the issue of your social standards, there's no need for you to put a positive spin on this. But the issue of harmony is affected. That if you believe that he's not acting in a way that makes you happy, if you put a spin on something that will make you less harmonious with him, so then that gufa is the problem. There's also a question in the Chafetz Chaim as far as that whole middle stage. So the people who are kind of average, that you are Dan L'Chaf Schus, so what if the person comes and shows up and you don't really know much about him at all? You don't know what his background is. So some suggest that there's no Chiyuv Dan L'Chaf Schus in that case. And the Chafetz Chaim says that it's Amidas Chassidus, that there it's not obligatory, but it's recommended. So perhaps the Sefer Mitzvah HaMelech suggests that may actually relate to different values in Dan L'Chaf Schus. That if it's a guy who you know, so then Dan L'Chaf Schus as V'Haftarech Kamocha comes up, because you have to interact with this person. But if it's a person who you don't know, so then, again, it's a question of social standards, so then maybe that would give a little bit of a different picture. There's also a question that's related. What if you see some action and you don't know who did it? You don't know who the person was. So is there a mitzvah to interpret that action l'chav schus? So again, similar point, that if the issue is that it's about getting along with people, so if you don't know who the person is, so then there's no real value, there's no real impact. But if the issue is that it's about, again, society standards, so then you don't, may not know specifically who this is, but the way people act in general, you know, and that's certainly something you can imagine. That, for example, if you see litter all over the floor in your neighborhood, so then you tend to litter also. It doesn't matter that you don't know who's doing the littering. Okay, in this neighborhood, it's makubal to be littering, so that's what you do as well. But if you believe, as is the case in other neighborhoods, that everybody's very marked to clean everything up, so then you'll also feel that pressure. So that doesn't have anything to do with your knowing any specific people who are involved. So if that's the issue, so then perhaps it would be defined that way. While if the issue is, well, if the issue is about getting along with people, then maybe it's less of a case because we don't know who it is you're talking about. Another more theoretical issue, which is also perhaps relevant, is the question of when are you mevatel the mitzvah of Dan L'Chav Schus? At the moment when you interpret the action or when it expresses itself? And that's also a question whether it's about you and how you understand things or about how you impact on other people. Again, what's the practical nafkamina of when it happens? I'm not sure. That's something else that's what I'm talking about. The Gemara says that somebody who, Gemara Maseches Brachos says, somebody who's cheshed be ksheirin, if you suspect somebody who's not really suspicious or not really deserving of suspicion, so you have to ask him for mechila, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk for this. So the footnote talks about this. So why do I need a pasuk? I have a concept of mitzvahs and adam l'chavero in general. I know if I violate mitzvah and adam l'chavero, I have to ask mechila. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me this is also the case? So he goes on to explain that this is to show you that you might think that suspicion ba'alma doesn't have an impact. That maybe it's not something I have to ask the people for. So that's why the Gemara has to tell you that no, this is something that hurts somebody. So that really is focusing on it as a ben adam l'chaveru. Because if it's about your social standards, so that wouldn't necessarily follow that there's any issue of mechila to express towards a person. Now, of course, the issue of mechila is complicated. Now, this is something we didn't get to last week when we spoke about Lashon Hara. But as I think Rabbi Binyamin Yeshua Zolber talks about, that presumably we're talking about a case where he knows that you were chayshid and that somehow you expressed your suspicion. That if this is just something that you thought, so then it's highly questionable whether it would be a good idea to ask mechila. That's a major topic in Hilchos Lashon Hara, which I don't think we spoke about last week, but probably mentioned in the past, that there is a whole history behind this, that Rabbi Shaul Salanter was asked to give a haskamah to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and even though he very much admired the Sefer, so he declined to give a haskamah. Why he declined? So he said, there's the one ruling in the Sefer that I disagree with, and I don't want anyone to think that I endorse that, so therefore I have to leave my name off it. So this Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, you could put your name when you write the haskamah. And the bottom of the scumbag, you write a footnote that, by the way, on page 326 is a psak I don't agree with. So they said, no, nobody reads the Haskamas anyway, so they'll just see my name and they'll think that I endorse everything, so I can't let that happen. So he's not going to do that. So what was this controversial psak? So the controversial psak was that it sounds like from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, even though it's open to a lot of discussion, but it sounds like from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim that if I speak Lashon Hara about somebody and he doesn't know about it, so I have to ask him for mechila. And Shaul Salanter said, Chas v'shalom, how could you do that? There's a prohibition in the Torah of anos tevarim. You're not allowed to hurt somebody's feelings. So if I'm going to tell this guy what I said about him and he doesn't know, so then that's a violation of anos tevarim. So this was a big debate, a lot of interpretations of it, which we won't necessarily get into tonight. But assuming the Chafetz Chaim meant it in that extreme of a case, there's also a little bit of a discussion. But that was what this machlokus was, that Shaul Salanter felt you couldn't ask mechila in such a case, and the Chafetz Chaim said that you're obligated to. Yes, sir.
So you can't get mechila?
So that's a good question. That's important to point out, that this doesn't mean that you're off the hook. It just means that you're in trouble, that you don't have the solution of mechila. So what is the approach? So the best approach is that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, that Lashon Hara is a good avera to stay away from because it has this additional difficulty in terms of asking mechila. But assuming that actually happens, someone speaks Lashon Hara about somebody, so what eitza does he have? So it's a good question. So assuming that we don't paskin like the Chafetz Chaim on this, and I think I once saw in the art scroll book about Rav Aaron Cutler, I think about Shaul Salanter, that they quote to Rav Aaron Cutler, that Rav Aaron Cutler was asked that the Chafetz Chaim, on this issue, the Chafetz Chaim didn't make it up, he's basing himself on Rabbeinu Yonah. So essentially, it's machlokus between Yisrael Salanter and Rabbeinu Yonah. So it's arguing on a Rishon. So how could he argue on a Rishon? So according to this legend, Rav Aaron Cutler said, to paraphrase the Gemara, that Rabbi Yisrael Tanahu Palig. Shaul Salanter was on the level like the Gemara has expression Rav Tanahu Palig. You can go back and argue on the previous generation. He said Shaul was so big he could argue on the Rishon. So that's acceptable. So that's step. So then if we assume that that's the case, that we pass him like Rabbi Shaul on this issue, like Rabbi Shaul Salanter, not Rabbi Shaul Meir Kagan. So then the question is, so what do you do? So there are a couple of suggestions. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had in his Sefer on the Rambam and Hilchos Mada, Parach Mata Aaron, that he suggests that you can't ask Mechila. He has the whole story there, by the way, if you want to read it there. The whole story, you can't do anything about it. So what you have to do is you have to try to counteract it with positive information. Of course, easier said than done. We all know that Lashon Hara is famously hard to undo, but that's really your only other aid to try to correct the effect, pick up all the feathers, so to speak. And there is also an approach that some of the Sfarim have, Rabbi Warman has this suggestion, and I think Rav Sternbach writes this in the Ma'ariv Mizmanim, that normally when we talk about asking mechila, so the way we do it b'zman hazeh is really not so ideal. The way you're supposed to, as Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch explained, the way you're supposed to ask mechila is that you're supposed to say, 2 weeks ago I punched you in the nose. I realize now that was probably not a good thing to do. I hope you're mindful of me, and I don't know what got into me. You're supposed to be specific and address real things. So the way we do it now is we kind of run around like a chicken without a head on autopilot, say, you're mindful of me, without any real intent behind it, and not even considering whether we actually did anything, and if so, what. So that's not really what we recommend. We talk about asking for mechila, but that's how the minhag develops. So some of these svarim point out that so there is an advantage to this, even though it's not so ideal, but there is an advantage, because if you have a situation where you can't specify, like Lashon Hara, where the person doesn't know about it, so then here's an Eitzah. So Erev Yom Kippur, you go up to him, you say, Yimochumi, make sure at least 10 people are Yimochumi, and you say, Yimochumi, and that way you will obtain the necessary mechila. Of course, it only works if you do it on Erev Yom Kippur. If you do it, if you do it on Shushan Purim, and you say, "Hi, I was just wondering if you're mochel me," so he'll probably catch on that you said something that you shouldn't in a Purim spiel. So you have to time this right. But if you Erev Yom Kippur, if you say that, so then that's how some suggest maybe that's an Eitzah. But this is so. If we assume that that's the psak here. So in the case of Chayshu B'Ksherim, so then what kind of Chayshu B'Ksherim are we talking about? So if it's a Chayshu B'Ksherim that the person felt what you did, that you impacted him the way you had these suspicions, so then perhaps, then that's what the Gemara means for sure, that Chayshu B'Ksherim has to ask Mechila. But if it's, it doesn't rise to that level, regardless of how you define down the Chas, but if you assume that it's a problem just mentally to think badly about somebody, if that's what you did and you didn't specify it, you didn't come into practice in any way, so then presumably this would not be kedai to ask mechila. Presumably it would be, as Yisrael, would be less than the machlokas Chafetz Chaim and Yisrael Salanta, because in the case of Lashon Hara, I spoke to somebody else, so I really did him damage, just the person doesn't know about it. So there, the Chafetz Chaim was saying you have to apologize for the damage, and Yisrael was saying that even though you did the damage, it's not worth the onus dvar. But here, presumably the guy wasn't really damaged at all. If it was just something you thought, then you got over it. So then if that's the case, then it's probably, according to everybody, we could safely say that it doesn't make sense to go spell that out to somebody and run that risk. At best, you could do your Erev Yom Kippur, Yimochumi, Yimochumi. Yeah?
Could you just say, I spoke Lashon Hara without getting being specific?
Try that. See what happens.
No.
Right. That doesn't work well. That doesn't work well. That, no offense, that kind of thing. If somebody came up to you and said, "Listen, I'm not going to go into it, but I spoke Lashon Hara about you. See how good you feel."
It's even worse.
Right. So see how good that makes you feel. Okay. So those would be some of the possible nafka meanings of this whole story. Now. And again, so that probably comes back into this whole machlokas about what do you do with the unsavory individual. So, but the truth is that the unsavory individual too, really everybody on some level probably does fit into a model of dam l'chavschus. Al pi derech ha-drush, but really al pi derech ha-halacha as well. The Mishnah has a strange lashon a little bit, which many, many mefarshim in the Mishnah picked up on, kulam b'snabdim b'signoi nechad. They all got the same shot. That the Mishnah says, "Havedan es kol ha'adam l'chavschos." You should judge all of the person l'chavschos. So, what does that mean? What kol ha'adam? What kind of language is that? So, all these mefarshim bal pe'achad say that, listen, there are going to be times when you can't really interpret what you're looking at in any positive way. You see something that looks bad, and it is bad. It's definitely bad. There's no other way to read it. So what does dam l'chavschos mean in that case? It means, yes, this particular maisa I can't interpret positively. But I can be done as kol ha'adam l'chavschos. I can look at the entire package of the person and I can recognize that there are all kinds of influences, there are all kinds of temptations, there are all kinds of balances. And ultimately this is what happened, but it doesn't have to color my picture in a negative way when taken in the broad perspective of everything I could see about this person. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Sefer on Pirkei Avos, he took this to the next step, and he says you have to look at the whole Mishnah also. The whole Mishnah says, "Asei lecha rav, uknei lecha chaver, v'avidanes kol adam lecha zchus." You should make for yourself a Rebbe, and you should go buy a friend, acquire a friend, whatever that refers to, and v'avidan lecha zchus. So the Rebbe explained that that all is the same idea, that you have to recognize when you judge people that people are a product of their social environment and a product of their educational environment. So who their Rebbe is going to make a difference and who their Chaverim are going to make a difference. And all of that has to be taken into the picture when we are evaluating the things that they do. So along those lines, Rav Nosson Gishtetner has a tshuva about the Dan L'Chavschus, that we assume that Dan L'Chavschus only means that you assumed the Avera wasn't the Avera, or does it mean if you see something that was clearly an Avera, but you assume that it was Beshogeg, or that it's less than severity than what it looks like, so then that's presumably also a Kiyum and Dan L'Chavschus, and that's presumably also part of what we're talking about here. Yes, sir?
How did we get such unsavory individuals if we're judging everybody so safe?
I mean, how do they become unsavory?
Yeah,
or
if everything they do, we're gonna be.
Eventually, we run out of possibilities, right? Eventually, the behavior piles up, and then you see that pretty clear pattern.
It just takes a long time for a person to become so morally bad in our eyes.
No, I mean there are again. You know, there are extremes, right? Yeah, there are extremes. There are things that which are pretty clear. That's gonna.
When you seem to be an avera, so you seem to be an avera.
Right. That would be an avera. So, just to mention one or two more points, really, Al Pidach Ad Rush, or more than that, but there is also an idea that Chazal have, that when we are don each other the Chavschus, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is don us the Chavschus. So, it's a little bit of a difficult idea. What does that mean? And what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is don us the Chavschus? So, you just said it's all about a suffix. So how is the Kodesh Baruch Hu ever going to have a suffix and how he judges us? So I think the Shidu Mekubetzes already comments that there are always different ways to see things. You can see things in a more compassionate way, and you can see things in a more rigid way. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, regardless of the reality of what we do, so he could judge us rigidly or he could judge us in a more compassionate way, Amidas Adin and Amidas Rachamim kind of distinction. So there are times when Kiviyachol, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to judge us compassionately, but he can't because we have to be able to perceive the justice of his ways. And if we live in a society where everyone is harsh with each other and nobody judges each other l'kaf schuz, so then it's going to look like Kodesh Baruch Hu is a pushover. It's going to look like he doesn't have any standards. But if we ourselves practice we ourselves have an approach of amidas harachamim towards what other people do, so then that system makes sense to us. And then if HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us that way, so we will also be able to perceive the justice in that. And the Maral noted also, the Gemara says achayshid b'ksherim leike b'gufo, somebody suspects people who are innocent, so he's going to get hit in his body. Maral explains that's not the normal standard for what requires loka bagufo. So he explained that this is not begeder onesh, that this is the reality, that the way society works, if people start suspecting each other, so everything's going to collapse and he's going to end up getting beat up. So if you want to have a harmonious society, it's very crucial that we should always be aware of this principle for both reasons of havidanas kol adam l'chavschus. Okay, so let's just quickly chazer. So what we spoke about, the fact that this pasuk b'tzedek tishpat tzemisecha is interpreted three ways by Chazal, that you should judge people, that if you're already judging, you should give them a fair, equal treatment, or that you should be done on l'chavschus. A little bit of machlokas, what's the real pshat in the pasuk? And we discuss different categories of the standard. If a person is righteous, he has his chazakah. If he's in the middle, he gets done l'chavschus. If he's unsavory, so he's not entitled to done l'chavschus, then it's machlokas, whether it's a good move or whether it's not advisable. And we suggested that it depends on the whole machlokas what Dan L'Chavschus is about. That if you believe it's a principle in B'Nadam L'Chavero, as the Urayim writes, the concept of Yahavtarech Kamocha, it's about keeping a harmonious society. And the Ma'aril Diskin says about keeping your own high social standards. And we saw some nafkaminas of this possibility First of all, this question about whether we should try to whitewash the behavior of people who are unsavory, with the question of what happens, does this have to be dafka in practice, or does it apply even machshava? What if the person is meichel? What if the person is no longer alive? What if the person is somebody who you don't know what category goes into, where the Chafetz Chaim made this distinction? Maybe that's also related to this issue. What if it's not a question of moral behavior, it's just about things that will offend you, like not coming to your party? What if you don't know who the person is who's involved? When does this bittul take place? The bittul dam l'chav schos, is it when you think it or when it comes into practice? And also the question whether you have to ask mechila. Well, the Gemara says you do have to ask mechila, and that they're explaining that that shows you it's a real offense, and that seems to indicate it's about v'yahavta recha kamocha. And then we talked about the presumption that we're discussing here, a case where you actually express this cheshed b'ksharim, because if the person doesn't know, so it's very hard to believe you should ask mechila for that. We mentioned the machlokas of Yisrael Salantin and the Chavetz Chaim about asking mechila for Lashon Hara, but that's at least there was an effect in the world that the victim doesn't know about. Here there was no effect, so it's hard to believe anyone would advise you to tell somebody about this and ask for mechila. Then we also mentioned this, that the Nasi Gishtetner has a tshuva that Damachas Chos applies to the other components of evaluation as well, not just whether the aver took place, but to assume that it was done b'shegeg, to assume that it was done in a less severe form than it looks like. That's also a part of it. And we talked about how this is consistent with the interpretation of the Mishnah, Havidanis Kol Ha'adam L'chavs Chos, take the whole package together, and how the Bav Chirabi noted that that was perhaps the common element in the Mishnah, that the social and educational context makes a difference. And then we talked about the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us the Chavetz Chos when we judge other the Chavetz Chos, as Yehuda Kovetz explains, because we need the system of justice to be something that we can understand, and that's crucial as well, and that we relate to it and respect. And then we discussed also the Gemara that says, Chaytru B'Ksharim Leike B'Gufo, that seems to be a surprising situation for one to be loka b'gufo, unless we understand that it's rather the consequence instead of the punishment, and that that's also a message about the importance of dam l'chavs. Okay, we'll stop there. You don't know how to...
What say? Can you clarify? Yeah.